This is The Agenda. Local newsmakers, community leaders, and people in our valley making a difference. Here's your host, Dave Bernstein.
And here we are, first day of the Washington State Legislative Session for 2022. And we've got State Senator Brad Hawkins lined up with us. And let's find out what the kind of the rules are in terms of participating in the Senate versus the House of folks that want to maybe testify on a bill or give feedback. And so, Senator Hawkins, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave. Thank you for having me on. It's great to be on the agenda. First day of session, you're right.
I saw Lieutenant Governor Denny Heck going through some sort of procedural things. I was watching a little bit online just a little while ago. So we are gaveled to order. How are things going to transpire in the Senate if folks want to, you know, give some testimony or part of that? How are things going to take place in the Senate this year?
Yeah, we actually just formalized all of that officially and took the votes and everything just minutes ago. And what you saw with Lieutenant Governor Denny Heck was what I was monitoring on my legislative tablets and other laptops. My desk virtually looks like the Rivercom 911 control center in some respects, but we just approved all of that. We had initially planned on having a true hybrid legislative session this year where constituent meetings and committee meetings would be done remotely, but that the floor action, all of the senators would be in person for floor debates and floor votes. Although just in the past week or so, the Senate administration switched that and essentially made everything virtual this year, there are going to be some members that could be on the floor remotely. But with the rise of the Omicron variant and other COVID concerns, at least for the first month of the two-month session, essentially most everything is going to be remote through Zoom. And that's basically what we did all last legislative session. So this particular year is a shorter session, so things should go a little quicker this year. It's the 60-day legislative session. So just as a refresher for the KPQ listeners, Washington State's legislature meets annually, but it alternates between longer sessions that are approximately 4 months, and then shorter sessions, which are approximately 2 months. And since we're in between this two-year budget cycle, we are approaching and just starting the first day of the 60-day legislative session.
I wanted to ask you, you run down maybe some of the bills that you would like to get proposed, and we'll start there, and then I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you about.
Yeah, so the process will be pretty fast-paced this year. Typically, it's difficult to advance bills in this short session, but there are some policy bills that do advance. I do have a bill, a carryover from last year, my bill for tow truck operators, that Senate Bill 5406, that would help tow truck operators get compensation if people negligent in their driving, cause accidents and delays, and then the tow truck operators get called out by law enforcement, and then those people and don't have insurance or don't pay the tow truck operators. So it's been a big issue. That bill from last year, as you recall, because I know you're familiar with Randy Houston and Randy's towing, is that bill made it all the way through the Senate, all the way through the House committees, got eligible to be voted on the House of Representatives, and just came up a little bit short. And so now the bill sort of reverts back to a Senate committee, and then will have to kind of make its way again. But we're hopeful that bill can kind of pick up where it left off and hopefully get across the finish line. The other bills, I have three. One is Senate Bill 5487 related to voluntary school consolidations, that if some of the smaller school districts want to consolidate with each other, it's totally voluntary, but under my bill, they would get a revenue boost for their facility renovations and new construction. The other bill is Senate Bill 5513. That's a bill I'm partnering with the city of Leavenworth to provide local governments within Chelan County a temporary option to have some more flexibility in their use of their lodging tax revenues. A small percentage, the lodging tax revenues normally go to support tourism promotion, but Leavenworth is not really struggling with the tourism promotion, but they are struggling with housing their workforce. And so a small percentage of those revenues would be permitted for local governments to use for workforce housing. And then my third bill, which I introduced about a week ago, is Senate Bill 5603, and it proposes a comprehensive review and sort of collection of information on Highway 2 safety and traffic flow improvements. These would be potential improvements that could be identified from Wenatchee all the way to Monroe on Highway 2, but in particular Leavenworth, Sultan, and some of the smaller communities along Highway 2 where the traffic backs up sometimes for 20 miles, where there's a lot of pedestrians like Leavenworth trying to cross Highway 2, which runs right through town. So something does need to be done, and my legislative district is changing, so the redistricting approval is one of the things on tap for this legislative session. But you know, Highway 2 corridor has long been a challenge, and I think it's time to try to advance a bill to kind of study that information and come up with cost estimates before the next legislative session in 2023, because at that time, we are anticipating a major transportation investment package to be developed in 2023, potentially for the next 10 years. So it's important to kind of get the timing right on that Highway 2 safety and traffic information. So those are my three bills, plus the carryover from last year. And, you know, I'm hopeful at least to drive the conversation on all three of those this year.
Well, we've all noticed the backups that we see in towns like Sultan, and as well on busy weekends as well. You get some pretty significant backups because of the signal traffic as well. So
Sunday afternoons, yeah, with everybody from Western Washington who recreated and visited Eastern Washington, which we appreciate, come spend your money. But all those people have to get back, and that's, you know, Sultan, the community of Sultan is going to be in the new 12th Legislative District. I've had some communications already with the mayor and the council there, and they've told me stories about needing to drive 1 mile to the grocery store on a Sunday, and it takes them about an hour and a half. And, of course, Leavenworth, we know, has had a lot of challenges. One of the ideas, because the Chelan Douglas Transportation Council has already done some of the study for just a portion of the Highway 2 corridor, but it involves, for example, a pedestrian undercrossing right around Cashmere Valley Bank and the U.S. Forest Service buildings right there in Leavenworth. I think that would help get a lot of people off of Highway 2, the pedestrians, to safely cross into the downtown, and then that alone would help improve the traffic flow Highway 2. So, and then there's another traffic circle by Icicle Road, and then the city of Sultan has already proposed some things, and those are just some of the things that if we put them together as a collection of ideas, we could package those together as one budget request for the upcoming new transportation package that's likely to be developed, like I said, this time next year. So trying to line things up, and I'm hopeful that we can get something accomplished on Highway 2 and other issues this year. And those are just my issues. You know, the legislature itself has some big ticket issues. I mentioned the final approval of redistricting. That's something that you and Kyle and I have discussed before. It's major changes for the 12th district. But we're also anticipating, as you mentioned at the onset of the show, some police reform changes, you know, hopefully improvements to the existing laws that were just passed and implemented for police reforms. And then that long-term care tax, which a lot of people are frustrated about, the governor has put a pause on that, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to either scrap it all together or make some reforms that make that a little more workable.
We're talking with State Senator Brad Hawkins. Brad, there was an interesting article in the Washington, Seattle Times, I should say, a couple of weekends ago, and it had to do with the fact that in Washington State, there is no law in the books that says utilities have to have a plan in place to shut down power in the case of high winds. And because of that, the power companies cannot be held liable when their fires cause significant damage. And this affects things like Avista and Puget Sound Energy and the like. Even California has that. I know Chelan PUD has taken it upon themselves to do that. So have you heard any buzz about discussions of that potentially in the legislative session this year?
Well, no, not in this year. I did read that article. I wasn't quoted in that, although I was consulted and contacted by Rebecca Moss from the Seattle Times on that. If you'll remember, Dave, last legislative session, I actually sponsored and Chelan PUD supported, and the legislature passed and the governor signed a bill of mine related to utility wildfire, a committee to kind of look into all the issues around utility wildfire, including, you know, having a protocol for danger trees and some other things. It's possible that, and the Department of Natural Resources is a key part of that program, they may be working with that utility group to identify some changes in law that could be implemented. I don't know if something of that scale could be implemented in this short of session, because, you know, that's a major, major piece of consideration once you try to assign more liabilities to utilities. As you recall, PG&E, it bankrupted them, essentially, what happened in California. So we have a lot of utilities in North Central Washington. We do have an unfortunate history of devastating wildfires. I think it's important for our utilities to continue to work with the Department of Natural Resources and other state agencies on this issue and other utility-related wildfire issues. And I also do believe that utilities should have more but should be more empowered to trim the danger trees and other things that are potentially causing problems along their transportation corridor. I know in some areas of the state, we don't always have trees in our transportation lines in Central Washington, although in some areas we do. But, in the past, people didn't empower the utilities to do the tree trimming that they felt is necessary. So, I think it's important that utilities, have those options. And then for the, we do have local control as part of our process. Our utilities, our public utility districts in North Central Washington are elected by a board. And I think it's important part of their consideration to consider shutoffs as preemptive or precautionary measures. So that is something that I know utilities across the state, and not just the public utilities, but the private investor-owned utilities and other city utilities are considering. So I think I'm thankful Chelan PUD is wisely considering things like that, and I think other utilities will as well. But I think we do have to kind of be careful that the legislature isn't too heavy-handed in some of these things and just running roughshod over some of the local control that our utilities have long enjoyed, and something that has made our local utilities, our publicly owned utilities, very successful.
I want to ask you a question, a word of advice that you might have. In fact, this is the subject of our KPQ poll question this week as well. The Washington Health Board is having a hearing coming up on Friday, and they are discussing whether or not local health officers should have the authority to issue a involuntary quarantine for people who would refuse COVID testing and COVID vaccination, and that would include COVID school vaccinations. So that's a pretty big step to take, and that is going on with a hearing of the State Health Board, which is eight of the nine board members, I understand, are appointed by the governor. So the legislature really has no role in this, but what would be your advice for folks that are concerned about that kind of authority being bestowed or given to local health officers?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at people's concern about that. I mean, that's just in general, you know, beyond just COVID, I think we have to be very cautious to transfer authority or to delegate authority from an elected body to a non-elected group, whether that's a health board or anything else. And what we've seen in recent months and years because of the COVID pandemic is there's a lot of transferring of authority to unelected boards. And there, for example, in the Chelan and Douglas Health District, there was a movement and a bill, and I voted against it, but there was a bill that passed that's now law that forces a restructuring of the health district board beyond just the local elected officials, broadening it out. And while getting input from experts and things is very important, I think, you know, there's an important role that is applied when the people are accountable to the public through the election process. And so if people have concerns about that, I would encourage them to contact my office. We'll pass it along, share it with the governor as well. But generally speaking, whether it's the health board or the State Board of Education or some of these other groups that are making impactful decisions that that impact all of us in the public, it's very concerning when non-elected individuals and boards are trying to make some of those decisions. And sometimes people have the opportunity to challenge things in court. Sometimes they have an opportunity to go through the legislative process. In this case, it sounds like they're trying to make revisions to the Washington Administrative Code, which is basically essentially rules that state agencies put forward. And anytime there is a rulemaking process outside of the give and take of the legislature, it does concern me.
First day of the 2022 legislative session, 59 to go, and so you there are there some adjustments to the budget in these non-budget year sessions, Senator?
Yes, there likely will be. So we approved last April all three of the state's budgets for the 2021 to 2023 biennium, and those are the operating budget. It's about $59 billion. The transportation budget is about $12 billion, and then we have the capital budget, which is about a $6.3 billion budget. So we have three state budgets. We've approved them for the two-year period. We have a little extra revenue, quite a bit actually, for more than what was expected. Normally, we make modest adjustments to those budgets, some technical corrections and other small adjustments. It's quite undetermined yet whether we'll have more substantial changes given the extra revenue. But I certainly hope we can just make some modest adjustments to those three budgets, have some other policy bills, make some adjustments to the police reform laws and the long-term care tax, and adjourn the session in 60 days. So that's my hope.
Does the remote nature of the process, does that tend to kind of speed things along a little bit or streamline things?
Well, I thought it was potentially pretty cumbersome, although it turned out to be pretty good last year, and then we're essentially doing the same process for the first half of this session. In last legislative session, in part because of the unified government that the Democratic majorities enjoy and the numbers of the spread between the difference of opinions in the legislature, I mean, the majority parties in the House and the Senate and the governor were essentially able to pass everything they wanted last year. All those police reform laws, which are now proving to be problematic. This long-term care tax continues to be a challenge. The governor's climate cap and trade or cap and invest bill from last legislative session. There's just, there was a whole lot of major policy items that were advanced last year. So I don't know if that's going to slow down or speed things up this year, but I do think the upcoming election could be a factor because all of the House members in the State House of Representatives are up for election this year in 2022. So I tend to think because of that, politics will factor into some of the House considerations, and they may not be as eager to pass some of the more contentious bills like they were last year.
Well, I see now that the governor says that it should not be, and I'm quoting him now, it should not be legal in the state of Washington for elected officials or candidates for office to willfully lie about election results, and this needs to be made illegal, punishable as a gross misdemeanor with up to a year in jail. So, and I guess he would be the arbiter of that.
Well, I guess. I think what he's asking for is a legislative bill to be introduced, and the governor actually doesn't introduce bills. The governor can propose budgets, but ultimately all that stuff sorted out in the legislature. Any of those bills would come before me because I serve on the state government and elections committee. But I think that news release by the governor's office is basically a shot at the former Trump administration and President Trump, so for challenging the validity of the national elections from a couple years back. So that seems pretty political, but newsflash, Governor Inslee is political, so that doesn't surprise me too much.
All right, thanks for the update. We'll have you on for periodical updates during the session, and day one in the books, sort of, 59 to go here.
That's right. And if people want to get in touch with me, they can reach out through my website at senatorbradhawkins.org or contact me directly through the website. We have three or four staff that are ready to help me with the huge volume of emails that we do get at this time of year. But these positions exist to serve the communities, and I'm honored to serve the 12th District. So if any of the listeners have any questions at all, please contact me, and then also I look forward to being on with you periodically during the rest of the session, and also checking in weekly with on KPQ. So thanks so much for having me on, Dave.
All right. Thanks for visiting with us. Again, State Senator Brad Hawkins on the agenda.